Good morning. Welcome to Dinkins Church on this beautiful day. If you would, if you haven't already, stand up and greet each other. Look around you and make sure there's no one that you haven't met. I'm good. How are you? Now I would like to call your attention to the announcements in the bulletin. There's several announcements in the bulletin. If you have a youth, that we've got several youth events coming up. There's a prayer list, church library news. I'll just leave it to you to read and see what interests you. Is there any announcements from the congregation? Yeah, we got more coming in here, so let's just hold on a minute. Any announcements from the congregation? Okay, if you would, there should be in the pew books to sign in your name for attendance. If you would be sure to sign your name and what service you attended, that would help us greatly. Do we have any prayer or praise requests? Okay. Okay. Joyce, if you can't, I barely heard her up here, but Joyce said thank you to everyone who helped with the bazaar yesterday. That we have some new people here, okay? In the back. Right. Okay.
Sherry Windrow has some health issues. Sherry has some health issues, so I think she went home early yesterday. We hope. We thought she did anyway.
Okay.
It's just something that Crystal Biz West are here, but she does need some special prayer.
Okay, let's lift up Sherry in our prayers this morning. Any other prayer requests, praise requests? I have my favorite niece got married Friday night, so let's keep her and her new husband in prayer for a long, happy life together. And they're leaving for Hawaii today for a safe trip there and back. So, anyone else?
There were many killings in Nashville.
Yes, there have been a lot of murders, it seems, lately in Nashville, which is basically our community. I mean, we're a bedroom community, so we need to pray for whatever is going on and pray that the evil will stop. All right, I'll call your attention to the prayer list that's in the bulletin. And we're going to pause now for a moment of silent prayer. And I pray that you would lift up those we've mentioned this morning and those on the prayer list and any unspoken prayers you have during this prayer to the Lord. Let's bow our heads.
I'm sorry. Sam just handed me a large version of the bulletin so I could read it. That's what I'm giggling about. That's a sure sign you're getting old when somebody hands you a large print bulletin so that you can read it. Okay, our call to worship this morning is printed in the bulletin, and it is responsive. After this I looked, and there was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, robed in white, with palm branches in their hands. They cried with a loud voice, saying, "Salvation belongs to our God, who is seated on the throne, and to the Lamb. Since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us. People will come from the east and the west, from north and south, and will eat in the kingdom of heaven."
Let's all turn in our hymnals. Hymn 563, standing as we try to count our blessings. We have so many. When the full life billows you are tempest tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, after many blessed things have one by one, heaven will surprise you by the
venture that we have more blessings than we can count. But let's reflect upon a few right now as we stand before God and just offer thanks for His blessings on our life. Our family, our health, our strength, a Savior, a God who wants us to be in fellowship with Him, made it possible. Lord, we come before You this morning. We come humbly. We come thankfully. Lord, we come seeking to be made truly aware of your presence, that we can just rest in your blessings to us, your presence, being able to just know that you care and that you love us. Lord, knowing that you're over all, that you're greater than anything that we have ever seen or even heard about. Lord, you're greater than we could ever imagine. Your power, your love, your compassion. Thank you. You will be our God. We can be your people. Speak to us in this hour. Let us glorify you. And we pray this in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Would you remain standing with me as we express our faith through the Apostles' Creed, and we will follow that with singing the Gloria Patri.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty,
maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended to Hades. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Confession this morning comes from Jeremiah 14, verse 20. O Lord, we acknowledge our wickedness and the guilt of our fathers. We have indeed sinned against you. Would you follow with me and pray the prayer of confession? Eternal God, in every age you have raised men and women to live and die in faith. We confess that we are indifferent to your will. You call us to proclaim your name, but we are silent. You call us to do what is just, but we remain idle. You call us to live faithfully, but we are afraid. In your mercy, forgive us. Give us courage to follow in your way, that those joined with those from ages past, who serve you in faith, hope, and love, we may inherit the kingdom you promised. Jesus Christ. Amen. The assurance of forgiveness comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19. God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them, and he has committed us to the message of reconciliation. the response to God, the God's forgiveness is turn your eyes upon Jesus. Everyone should have an insert for this one.
For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup, also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread and drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord.
All who trust in Jesus as their Savior are welcome, even encouraged, to eat and drink from his table. If Louise and Teresa and Steve and Judy and Roger and Simon would have said, I have heard it before and I have read it before, but a neighboring church's newsletter presented this invitation to the table this week. Come. Come to this sacred table. Not because you must, but because you may. Come to testify, not that you are righteous, but that you sincerely love our Lord Jesus Christ and desire to be his true disciple. Come. Not because you are strong, but because you are weak. Not because you have any claim on heaven's reward, but because in your frailty and sin, you stand in constant need of heaven's mercy and help. Come, not to express an opinion, but to seek his presence and to pray for God's direction in your life. Bread, representing the body of Christ. Broken bread, representing his body, broken for us, to pay for our sins. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for sending Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for coming. And as we partake of this bread today, let it be inscribed upon our minds and our hearts, your love for us. And really how much we owe you. Thank you. In Jesus' name.
body of Christ broken for you. The cup representing the blood of Christ shed for us, shed for the remission of sin. Lord God, thank you that you care for your sin. And thank you that you will call us from lives of sin to lives that honor you. Forgive us, O God, we pray again, wherein we have failed you. And we thank you for the forgiveness that is ours through Jesus Christ. That he came to reconcile us unto you. And thank you, Lord, that you have given us the task, the responsibility, the privilege of being agents of reconciliation to the world. In Christ's name. Amen. The blood of Christ shed for you.
scripture lesson this morning comes from 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 2 through 10. We always thank God for all of you, mentioning you in our prayers. We continually remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers loved by God, that He has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit, and with deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord. In spite of severe suffering, you welcomed the message with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model to all believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it, for they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. The Word of God for the people of God.
I read this passage, three words jumped out. And I said, oh, we've heard them before together. Faith, hope, and love. Also find them in 1 Corinthians 13. Faith, hope, and love. These three. But the greatest of these is love. Now, in this letter, it's faith, love, and hope. But when Paul wrote to the Corinthians, he put it faith, hope, and love, emphasizing love, being at the end of what we call the love chapter of the Bible. If I have a goal this morning, and I think I do, is to challenge you in the congregation to follow the example of the Christians in Thessalonica. And that word is used in that passage, is it not? The people of Thessalonica, or Thessalonians, I guess, or were they Thessalonikians? You determine which you want to call them. They had become examples to other Christians throughout the world, or the known world at that time, where the gospel had been preached. They had come to believe in Jesus. They were living in faith. They were living in love. And they were living with much hope. There's a number of ways to motivate people. I have never claimed to be a good motivator. I have friends and acquaintances who are motivational speakers. And sometimes they are more motivated, to me at least, than they are motivational. And I like to go and be motivated by a motivational speaker who is much motivated as he speaks. Wow. But
But there are three ways that I want to introduce, use as an introduction this morning, that I have observed people motivating people, motivating other people. One way is just tell them what they're to do. Like the Apostle Paul telling Timothy what he was to do, and we dealt with that for the past 2 weeks. And one of the things he said, go preach the word. And we hope that Timothy went to preach the word. Jesus sent out 12 to preach the word and gave them a list of things they would do as they went to preach, like preach and heal the sick, etc., etc. And they went and did it. Timothy went and preached the word, and in 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy, the end of chapter 3 and the beginning of chapter 4, Paul gave Timothy these instructions what to do. Now, Jesus left the earth and gave us instructions, Christians, we call it the Great Commission. He commissioned us to go and make disciples, and sometimes people don't respond. Some people say, yes, I've been told to do this, I'm going to go do it. Others don't respond so readily or so agreeably. Another way to motivate people is to brag on a person or brag on a group of people who has done or people who have done something good. And if the one being bragged on or the ones being bragged on have much respect for the person doing the bragging, they will just try to do more and try to do it again if it's something good. And it keeps coming to my mind, and I think you've heard the old story, but some of you may not have. We were newly married. We were in El Dorado, married about a year and a half or 2 years, and I took an old sewing machine cabinet and modified it with only a handsaw and cut the place where the portable sewing machine would fit into this antique sewing machine cabinet. And it didn't look very smooth, it didn't look very good, but Carol came out to the garage, and she looked at it, and we were kind of newlyweds, a year and a half or something. And she looked at that and she says, Larry, you can do most anything, couldn't you? And man, I tell you, I would have jumped over that house or made an attempt to if she had asked me to right there. And I just beamed in that. And you kind of run out of energy after as the years passed, but I still remember that. Never have forgotten it. I can still see myself using that old handsaw and one that her dad had given me. And I was trying to cut a circle with a handsaw. Not a full circle, but a curve. Just not very easy to do. Lewis can tell you that. Many of you know that. You've tried it. But I got it done and a lot of putty to fill in and painted over with black paint, and I was bragged on. That motivated. A third way to motivate people is to use the example of other people and what they have done, and the hearer will hear it, or if we're reading what somebody else has done, we will read it, and we will, on hearing what they have done, we will say, I can do that too. I think I'll try. You ever been motivated that way? Just know that somebody else has done something, and we want to try it too. One thing I think of in this community is a lot of people that work on old cars. And somebody else will say, I can do that too. They'll get them an old car, usually an A model, and try to renovate it and make it a show car. And there are many other things that we can do where that happens. And I put the word Sputnik here. And Sam says Sputnik, and I know that Sam knew Sputnik, but Savannah didn't know what Sputnik was. Who knows what Sputnik was? Okay. You read it in this history book if you were not alive then. But Sputnik, I wrote it all down, I think.
When did it happen? When did Sputnik happen? When was it? When did it come on the news? We'll put it that way. It didn't just happen. I even heard the month over here. 57. It's October of 57, or according to, and it wasn't Wikipedia, it was hopefully a better website. The USSR. We remember the USSR, don't we? Okay. It was a USSR space satellite. And this is the 50th anniversary. And it was October the 4th. How big was it? I'm sorry? Yeah, yeah. About the size of a beach ball. So, you're close. A small basketball. You didn't fly on that, did you, Charlie? Okay. Oh, you couldn't fly on it, did you know that? It weighed, I think I got this right,
183.9 pounds.
And it orbited the Earth. How long did it take it to orbit the Earth? You know, Charlie? 98 minutes, according to this website. Wow. Where do you learn all this? Okay. And the U.S. said, basically, what we heard, 57, I was, what, 13 years old, I guess. And we started to say, 14. And we started to say, we've got to do it too. We're behind. It started back in 52. They started saying, we can go to the outer space. Or maybe before then, but that was when they got interested in it. And some kind of world congress began to talk about it. And the United States says, we can do it too. They not only said, we can do it, they said, those Russians have beat us. We've got to do it too. We've got to catch up. And we poured dollars after dollars after dollars after dollars into a space program. We poured educational facilities, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And there's one group out there now, right? They had a tear in the sun reflector, what do you call it? A tear in the solar panel. So we're still doing it. It's grown a lot since 57. Charlie, I'm glad you did it. It was the first, they called it the first artificial satellite. There have been satellites floating around for generations. What does that have to do with the sermon today? Well, it says it's an example, an illustration of when somebody heard of somebody else doing something, they said, we can do it too. And in this case, they said, we've got to do it too, or we'll be frowned upon. It was a fear factor, as I remember. We were fearful. If we didn't get into the space program, we would be left behind. And some of you who were in middle school about that time, we called it junior high then, I think, we'll remember the fear or whatever. Number three, that's the somebody hearing that somebody else has done something and said, we can do it too. That is what could happen when we read 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 2 through 10. Paul, the apostle, is bragging on the Christians in Thessalonica. Actually, he's just kind of recounting what they had done. But he is speaking of the good that they have done. One of my problems in life is when things are going good, I don't mention it. My children have said this. My wife has said this. Workers at the church, one employee of the church, said, he never says anything if I'm doing good. And, well, if you're doing good, in my mind, somewhere back there, it says, well, you don't need to say anything. But that's wrong. We need to say something when people are doing good. And because we're quick to criticize when people are not doing good, or not doing it right, are we not? And it's good to talk about the good that people are doing. And that's one of my faults. And urge me on or pray for me that I will brag on people when they're doing good. A person reading what Paul said to them might say to them, that is wonderful what those Thessalonians did. That's great. That's a good practice for me to follow. I think I will incorporate that in my life. And you can read those 9 verses and see what it is. But then I want to talk about them. He says, I ask you to look at me, look with me, and I keep getting behind, at what they had done. They had been involved in work that was inspired by faith. They had been involved in labor that was prompted by love. And quite frankly, I still haven't figured the difference out in work and labor. Do you know the difference in work and labor? Does anybody? I see them kind of much very similar. And maybe Paul was just saying, you've been doing this, it's prompted by your faith or inspired by your faith, this that's inspired by your love. They have been involved in Christian activity, I think. Work inspired by faith, labor prompted by love, and endurance found on hope. Paul gives us next insight into the reason for this work, labor, and endurance that the Thessalonians were experiencing or participating in, the reasons for it was their faith, their love, and their hope. Why were we doing what we were doing yesterday? Remember Julie there in the kitchen window serving biscuits, barbecue? September, Sonia and a crew of people put on a carnival for kids. Not just for that day, something for that day. Why did we do that? Why were the Dornans and the Post and the McWilliams and the other helpers out there cooking barbecue when you start? 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning? Why were you doing that? Why has Sherry worked herself maybe too hard? I believe it's inspired. That's work inspired by her faith in Jesus Christ. She's a member of the family of faith, and she's doing it. Why would Becky and Bob go to Russia? Then why would they bring Savannah and her family back with us? Why would they go to great lengths to do that? Why would Pam stand up here and lead worship? And some churches would say, well, that's the preacher's job to do that. Work inspired by faith. And then there was labor prompted by love. Another word for labor I found was service. Is service prompted by love? Is that what the grace team does? They do service. Why do they do it? Motivated by faith, but prompted by love. Love, they don't know the people they're going to serve in most cases, especially the first trip, but their love of God. Those who deliver meals on wheels, are you present this morning? I know one. Who else? Two? Three? Why would people drive 60 or 70 miles a day to deliver meals to people that could probably have family to take meals? About half of them could have family to take meals to them. But even those who can't get a meal another way, why would they do that? Is it labor or service prompted by love? Those who go to visit Russia or a nursing home or a prison or the Union Mission are that which Jesus experienced. Excuse me, I thought I had some notes that someone kind of described what Jesus had gone through. And endurance through hope. Endurance, persevere. Why do people persevere? You know, one of the frustrating things about being a pastor is that people don't persevere so often. They'll make a good start, but soon run out of energy or run out of steam, and soon drop by the wayside. And I can name them in this church or other churches, our churches down the street. The Thessalonians, Paul commented on their perseverance or their endurance and their steadfastness. One version calls it their patience. They kept on being patient. And their patience was founded on hope. What kind of hope? Hope of Jesus returning and finding them faithful. One writer called these three virtues, faith, hope, and love, the workhorse virtues. The workhorse virtues. They called them a trinity of virtues in action. Faith, hope, and love. Faith. Love. And hope. And they're associated here and elsewhere with something toilsome. Or something hard, or something difficult. And it's not easy. To work. Hardly ever. We can just go back to yesterday. Ed, it wasn't easy going upstairs with tables, was it? We'd have to take a break. That was difficult. And then, labor. And then, holding on, not throwing up the hands and giving up. Paul also used these virtues, I've already said, in 1 Corinthians 13. Paul gives us some insight into the reasons for the work, labor, and do it. He also gives us some insight into the reasons for their hope, faith, love, and hope. The gospel preached in the power of the Holy Spirit, preached by preachers empowered by the Holy Spirit. The gospel, good news. Good news of Christ. Our hope of glory. Jesus. Conceived of the Holy Spirit. Born of the Virgin Mary. Lived a sinless life. Crucified, dead for our sins. Buried. Raised from the dead. Ascended with the promise to return. And this message preached by preachers, empowered by the Holy Spirit. But he also says that the message was not only preached by the power of the Holy Spirit, the message was received in the power of the Holy Spirit. And it took me 40 years of preaching to discover that verse. it kind of jump out. The message was received in the power of the Holy Spirit. The listeners were blessed with the presence of God's Spirit. Many times in my years of experience, I have heard it said, not usually about me, to my face at least, whatever you say to my back, that's between you and God. But many times I've heard it said of some preacher, he is not called of God. Other times, I've heard it said he really is a God-called preacher. God called him to be preaching. I hope that is said about me. I believe it enough to give a whole life to it. But here, Paul talks about the listeners. The listeners being blessed in power. The word was received in the power of the Holy Spirit. This verse, yes, speaks of God calling listeners. Or God called listeners who come to trust Jesus and know God as the Holy Spirit draws them or draws us and compels us, moves in us, speaks to us. So, not only does a preacher need to be empowered by the Holy Spirit, Scripture says something to the effect, and I'd have to look up the verse, unless the Father draws us, we cannot come. And then, what was the reason behind their faith, hope, and love? They had been converted. Or they had turned to God from idols. And they were waiting for the return of Jesus to be delivered from the wrath that was to come. These Thessalonians were examples for us. Where do we stand? We come to believe yet. Maybe we need to let the Holy Spirit get through to us and believe the gospel. Believe in Jesus as our Savior. Maybe we who believe need to allow the Holy Spirit to move us to be involved in some work and some service. And certainly we need His Spirit to keep us faithful, or to give us endurance, steadfastness, and patience. Lord God, we thank You. We thank You for the Thessalonians who set an example for us. But we thank You for Jesus who came and was revealed to them. And we thank You, Lord, that we can have a like faith as they do. And we can serve You in our community and throughout the world because of our faith, our love, and our hope. Amen. Let's stand together and sing our invitation hymn 326. Let's sing the first verse. Thank you. Lord,
thank you again. In Christ's name.
Yeah.